For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Let's just see. Thursday. So today on the radio show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. That's not because it's Thursday. It's because it's any day. That's what we do here. We got Chris Harrington with his song selection, his wisdom, his insight, all of that at 10 o'clock. And then, because it is Thursday, we will play Righter Than Right Trivia. Now, we have some additional suspense because we don't know what we don't know what the
we don't know what we're playing
is.
For yet.
Here's the truth: a lot of times, an organization will say we're gonna make some cuts and we're gonna do more with less, right, Jeffrey? Or they say
leaner, efficient.
We're gonna be leaner,
streamlining. I believe
streamline our processes. We're gonna. It's a lot like Doge. You know, you're just gonna cut the fat. That's all you're doing is you're just cutting the fat. And yet the truth of the matter is, it's really hard to do more with less. You know what you typically do with less, Jeffrey? What would you imagine?
You typically overextend what you have.
You do less with less, and you extend. So anyway, so what happened was is that when Cindy DeBartolabin was laid off, along with Dennis Fuller was laid off. We lost two incredibly valuable members of the team, and one of Cindy's jobs was identifying the prizes for Righter Than Right Trivia. Right, she had the goodies over there,
the never ending prize closet.
And now that has been offloaded. This is what happens. You do this. They don't add. You don't add. This is not. This is, by the way, not about Odyssey or anything. This is just how it works when you make how it worked for me when I went through the succession of layoffs at the CA. Everyone just does more. Like you just do more. And so they gave the job to someone else, and then that person went on paternity leave.
Yes.
So then they gave that job to someone else, and so now the same people who had already taken on other jobs, and so now everyone's doing 17 jobs instead of just the 15 they were doing before.
Correct.
So we don't really know what the prizes are going to be, but I can tell you, fabulous, going to be absolutely fabulous prizes, and on the Righter Than Right trivia. And the other thing is you get to play for the honor of being Righter Than Right. Now, some would say, Jeffrey, which is more difficult, taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder or taking on Jeffrey Wright?
Listen, Jeff, we're just on to the next play. We are only focused on what we can control, and that's answering trivia questions.
If you play honorably, that's all that's required. It's all we demand. It's all we ask is that you play honorably. And if you best Jeffrey, I'll be impressed. If you don't best Jeffrey but play honorably, you will have held yourself up.
We don't know what the questions are going
to
be.
As a shining example to other Memphians, and you will get some as yet unidentified prize. So we will do that in the second hour. I got a little bit of a bone to pick, though, Jeffrey.
Okay, with me?
No, with Ahmedi Sidighe. of the Smile Center.
Yes.
My dentist. Do you realize that he is trafficking in Jeff Calkins' show territory? He's stealing one of our bits?
Mm-hmm.
Because he has posed the question, what should the Grizzlies do tomorrow night? And he not only did it, he put out a Jeff Calkins show poll question to the people.
And didn't even tag with our branding?
He tagged me and he tagged Drew. And now I'm trying to find that. Here we are. From Mehdi Sadeghi. Let's get real. What should the Grizzlies do Friday? And his choices were lose for the lotto pick, win and see what happens. That was his choices, okay? He did a Jeff Calkins show poll, unauthorized, completely unauthorized Jeff Calkins show poll by the dentist of the stars, Mehdi Sadeghi. And this is what happens. I'll tell you the problem with this poll in a minute, and I'll tell you why amateurs shouldn't be doing this stuff. It's you got to leave it to the professionals. We do now know, though, Jeffrey, who the opponent will be.
Indeed we do.
It will be the Dallas Mavs, who pretty much destroyed the Sacramento Kings last night.
Both non-competitive games last night.
Totally non-competitive games. I don't know how the fade Brad thing went yesterday. I don't know if he redeemed himself by losing a couple. He got out to a brilliant start. He hit on his first two, which doesn't help those who are fading Brad. I don't know what happened yesterday, who he picked in those games, but the Heat destroyed the Bulls and Dallas destroyed Sacramento. And if I defined the word mediocrity in the NBA dictionary, would not the Sacramento Kings and the Chicago Bulls names be right there? Would we not have their logos right there?
Yes, and like both teams kind of like made deal, you know, traded players.
Now, in fairness to the Kings, they had to. Like, they had already, sure. They had already done some questionable things to bolster themselves, right? A lot of people didn't think DeRozan made a lot of sense. Like, whatever. They'd already done some things. But then they were forced to trade De'Aaron Fox. Like, that was not their doing. And then the Bulls have lived forever in this no man's land. Now, Josh Giddey's been really good this year, and there was some renewed enthusiasm for that franchise. But it is funny, because occasionally people will tell me, Grizzlies should blow it up! I get that a lot these days, right? And then you also get, Grizzlies should trade Ja, right?
Yeah.
I'm sick of him. And the problem is, the Grizzlies without Ja, just for example, look a lot to me like Sacramento and Chicago. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You're not stinking for Cooper Flagg. You're not whatever. You're a decent, boring team in the middle. Here you are a mercurial team that can frustrate you and whatever else. But I always ask the question, what's the alternative? We can have our frustrations with the Grizzlies season this year. And I think we can have our frustrations that the Grizzlies didn't do more to bolster the core three or whatever we're calling them. But it has never crossed my mind that they would be better breaking up those three. Not yet. It has not crossed my mind. They are, even in this frustrating season, top third of the NBA. And if they had better health or better pieces around their stars, if the Marcus Smart trade had produced a Marcus Smart who they thought they were getting, for example, right? If the Zaire Williams draft had predicted Zaire Williams who you thought you were getting, for example. If you could just wave your magic wand and go back and put the equivalent of Kyle Anderson and Tyus Jones and Steven Adams and De'Anthony Melton around this group, we would not be where we are today. So it was interesting watching it to see Sacramento and the Bulls take their usual spots, mired in mediocrity. And then the Kings fired their GM immediately thereafter. You wonder how that works. Like, you've already decided to fire him, and you're just waiting till, like, what happens if Sacramento had beaten Dallas and then beaten the Grizzlies? Like, is there a stay of execution?
I have no clue on that, because it's...
Or if you just, it's probably internal dynamic stuff. You're going to fire him anyway, barring some, you know, barring then beating... Like, because this is all, by the way, for the eighth seed you're going for. So, but you were going to lose to OKC. The best case scenario, you were going to lose the series to OKC if you're Sacramento. And I think then you still fire him. But what if you take... Win a game, surprising game, play. Was there a stay of execution possible? This dude was, Monty McNair was the executive of the year 2 years ago. Light the beam, baby.
Well, but I mean, Michael Malone was coach of the year, title, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the coach of the year stuff, we know that's completely meaningless. The executive of the year, I mean, you know, there's another one, Zach Kleiman.
Yep.
You do wonder at what point, and I'm not suggesting it should be now at all, but you do wonder at what point the clock starts ticking on Zach Kleiman.
I think it's already started. I think when you make the decision of firing Taylor and basically saying that this is...
Right, then you're next.
Correct. Now it puts the spotlight on the roster.
Yeah. And as I said when he did it, I actually commended him for doing it when he did it, because I think it... even makes the spotlight brighter. When you do something that's unconventional like that, it's like, okay, I'm putting the spotlight right on myself. Like right now, we could still be blaming Taylor Jenkins for everything.
Sure.
Right? If Taylor Jenkins were still in place, we could still be blaming Taylor Jenkins for everything. But instead, the spotlight has shifted, which he knew when he did it, it would, to Zach Kleiman. All right. So it's going to be Dallas Friday at FedEx Forum. You can buy tickets. I predict it will be a fun night at FedEx Forum. The atmosphere is always different. You could feel it the other night against Golden State, right? The atmosphere is just different. It's just different. So if you want to be a part of that, you can head on over and buy tickets. By the way, Jaron is giving away 250 fans today, 4 p.m. in the Grand Lobby at FedEx Forum, two tickets. First come, first serve, 4 p.m., courtesy of Jaron Jackson Jr. That's something they've done before, but nice of Jaron to do it. And nice for the fans who will get in and get free tickets to see the Grizzlies. So Grizzlies versus Dallas Friday night. But back to Dr. Sadeghi. This is the problem when amateurs try to do this. He said the question that he asked in the knockoff Jeff Calkins show poll was, let's get real. What should the Grizzlies do Friday? Lose for the lotto pick, win and see what happens. I was stunned. Now, mind you, doesn't quite have the reach of the Jeff Calkins show poll.
Very few things do.
Very few things do. 56% said lose for the lotto pick. 44% say win and see what happens. That's a surprising result, don't you think? Or do you think it reflects that people are checked out?
I don't know. That's pretty close.
It is close, but here's my objection to that poll. Because this is a distinction that I make persistently and people seem to miss. I don't think the Grizzlies should lose for the lotto pick. It would never cross my mind to suggest it, to ask anyone about it, to bring it up. Of course, the Grizzlies aren't going to be trying to lose.
The Mavericks did.
The Grizzlies aren't. Yes, yes. No, no, no.
With Mark Cuban.
Yes, yes. No, no, no. Well, we can discuss this. There are circumstances where teams do try to lose. When, like, what tanking is trying to lose organizationally. And even in that realm, the players aren't participants in it, right? The players, when they go out there, give 100%, whatever else. It's an organization is tanking, right?
Yeah.
And we see this in the NFL. We should have seen it from New York Giants.
Correct. We didn't.
We didn't. But yes, this started actually, I mean, well, there's been a lot of famous examples of it.
I mean, it was popularized by the Sixers with the
Well, yes, but even before then, the Rockets tanked to get Hakeem.
Yeah, and then, I mean, the Spurs.
And you know what worked? Yes. Now, the Spurs also got lottery luck.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't just, they sure. You know. But yes, so it and the reason that the NBA had to come out against tanking, had to make rules, had to flatten the draft odds, is because it makes total rational sense to tank. The incentives are very clear, particularly in the NBA, where one superstar can make such a difference. All the incentives are, we should go ahead and stink and get better draft picks because we need better players, and this is the way to get better players. And particularly when, if you were the worst team, you got the number one pick, it was easy. I mean, an easy decision. It's a little tougher now. People still tank. Look at Utah.
Sure.
Utah literally fined this year. The incentives are to tank. There's nothing irrational about it. It is the most rational thing in the world. Now, that is true when you have a bad team and you're like, okay, let's just be terrible, right? That's the typical tanking situation.
Yep.
We have had examples of teams that have tanked their way out of the playoffs, and Jeffrey raises the most pertinent, and that is Dallas only kept their pick if they missed the playoffs 2 years ago, the pick that produced Derek Lively.
Yep.
Right? And so they literally tanked their way out of the playoffs. That was a team in disarray, a team that hated each other, whatever. But they literally tanked their way out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
That is, it wasn't exactly the Grizzly situation.
They got fined for it and everything.
Yeah, like
they,
it wasn't exactly the Grizzly situation because I don't think it was a play-in situation. I think they, was it? I don't
yeah,
think
no, it, they were in.
They were in the play-in and they tanked the play-in game?
They were, like, with like 2 weeks left, they were going to be in the play-in.
Exactly. And they tanked to miss the play-in.
Correct.
Right. So we haven't had this exact situation because this would be tank. But I do not believe, think, would not begin to suggest that this Grizzly team should intentionally lose. Of course not. That would be, I think, insulting. Now, might it be possible that Zach Kleiman wants them to lose, would prefer that they lose? I think it's arguable, but even then, I doubt it. I doubt it. That, to me, isn't the question. So when Mehdi Sadeghi asked this question, let's get real, what should the Grizzlies do Friday? Lose for the lotto pick and win and see what happens. He is asking what the organization should try to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's any doubt what the organization will do, which is try to win, right?
I suspect they're trying to win.
Yeah, of course. My question is a very different question. It's a different but related question. What should the fans want? And is it okay if, as a fan, understanding you have no bearing on this, understanding that the organization is going to do everything they can, is it okay as a fan to root for your team to lose? And let's be clear again. There are absolutely circumstances when fans do, rational fans, good fans, fans who are passionate about their team, love their team every bit as much as you do, when they root for their team to lose. Let's talk about some of the circumstances, Jeffrey. One would be when you want a coach fired.
Yep.
Right? You've seen that.
Yep.
And the other would be in this circumstance.
There's an when there's some type of...
When you're trying to produce a better team in the long
correct.
Run, you're willing to root for short-term losses.
The Giants had the number one pick. If they lose out, they would have had the number one pick. Instead, they beat the Colts, and then now they pick three.
In the world of college sports, it's usually to get a coach fired because there's no draft. It doesn't losing does not enhance your ability to get better players, except for if you fire your coach, maybe he's better recruiter or whatever else.
It's
right?
To bring in change.
It's to bring in change. And there's lots of Buffalo Sabres fans who were rooting for the Sabres to lose this year, mostly to get the GM fired. Like, they're past the draft pick. The draft pick's part of it, too. But they just want... You're rooting for change because you don't... You want a brighter future, and this doesn't feel like it's part of the brighter future.
You've lost trust.
So the idea that it is somehow a bad fandom to do that seems crazy to me. The only question is what then are the incentives in this particular case? How, in terms of just the fans, how the fans should approach it? And what? So let's do the professional Jeff Calkins show poll, Jeffrey. What could it say?
Jeff Calkins show poll for Grizzlies fans. What do you want to happen tomorrow night against the Mavericks?
That's beautifully well stated.
Thank you.
And then what are our choices?
Win, play the Thunder.
Win and play the Thunder.
Lose, keep the draft pick.
Lose and keep the draft pick.
You good?
I think we should fire that sucker up. I think we should fire that sucker up.
It's live.
Now, I'll be honest. The night before, after the long, groggy game, I tweeted something not just about basketball, but about politics. And it unleashed a storm.
No way.
And it unleashed a storm of support and derision both. And I honestly haven't looked at Twitter since, at any responses to my Twitter since. And so I'm going on Twitter here, and I'm going to retweet this, and it's live. And so as we do, Jeffrey, we will now predict, what do Grizzlies fans want?
I'm going to say online people want them to lose.
Really?
Yeah.
Very clearly, the people in the arena will want them to win.
Correct.
That's also self-selecting.
Yeah.
You're rooting for an experience. You wouldn't go there and want to watch your team lose.
You don't want to pay to watch sports. Yeah.
No. So there, you think online people, you think
yes.
Lose and keep the pick will win.
Yes.
Part of this, and Drew and I wrote a column about this that you can read. We went back and forth on it in the Daily Memphian. And Drew's argument for why they should not, why it doesn't make sense to want them to lose, is grounded mostly in two things. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's, of course, the team wants to win, and there's the experience and whatever. But it's basically grounded in, you want them to lose to keep the pick. Well, the pick's not going to do you any good. And he looked at the impact of rookies on playoff teams, how much they play, whatever else.
Sure.
And it is, as you would imagine, negligible, right?
Yeah.
And
not
then,
for this team, but yeah.
And then he also looked at, okay, well, fine. You would trade the pick. Here's what first round picks have yielded recently.
Right.
And again,
not much.
Negligible, right? You had to literally attach a first round pick, this first round pick, to Marcus Smart just to get him to haul him off.
Correct.
For the wheelbarrow, right? So, so he's basically saying, what you're going to get is worth almost nothing. This is not. So I have two objections. In the end, I
would piggyback off that because I've actually kind of changed my tune a little bit. I also think, because you and I fundamentally agree, the best way, the most likely scenario for the Grizzlies improving next year mm-hmm. is they get better internally. Mm-hmm. And to me, there's such a stark contrast between the level of playoff basketball and the level of regular season basketball. This is more high intensity games for Zach Edey, and I think it's a rep thing. I think there's a value there.
I agree with those things. I want to take Drew's things for a minute, though.
All right.
First of all, I think to the extent that people will vote, let's lose. I think some are underestimating. It's not just about what you're going to get for the pick. It's just I don't want to see this team lose to Oklahoma City four straight games. I don't want to, like, some of this is just, okay, it would be ignominious to lose tomorrow night to Dallas. That would be ignominious and painful, right?
Yep.
A belly flop of the end of the season. But it would be quick. I don't need this. I think there's a real sense on some members of the fan base, I'm done with this. I just want it to be over. I don't need to watch them get humiliated over a week by Oklahoma City.
No,
I think that is a substantial, just which is more painful? Forget the pick. Which is more painful? Losing by an average of 18 four times to OKC or a drop on a buzzer beater tomorrow night to Dallas?
No, I'm with you. I think that's definitely a part of it. I would also make the claim, though, like for the Grizzlies, if you could have like the surprising stretch it to six, does maybe make you feel a little better next year.
Well, that's true. What I just said, builds in the assumption that they're going to get swept by OKC, and they don't have to get swept by OKC.
I do think people, because you even said yesterday, you came in, you're like, I feel a little better after watching Wednesday night.
They have three very good players. It's a basketball game. You can, sure. And Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, if Ja can turn his ankle, so can Shea.
Yeah, we also need like five other guys to turn their ankles.
Okay, five. There can be massive
ankle
outbreak.
Ankles are going around.
It's the measles thing, basically. Ankles are practically measles in terms of contagion. 100%. Look at how many Grizzlies had ankle issues this year. You tell me that ankles aren't contagious?
It's the year of the ankle.
It's the year of the ankle. So yes, that is, and so. But then in terms of the picks, of course there's no guarantee. Rookies aren't going to help. Let me ask you this. People are literally just telling me that the reason the Grizzlies are losing is because Jalen Wells can't play.
Right.
Is he not a rookie? Yeah. Rookie second rounder. You tell me rookies can't help? I've saw other people telling me, in fact, me telling me, that when Zach Edey left the game the other day, the Grizzlies were dead. Isn't he a rookie? Yeah. The idea that a rookie can't help. No, a rookie shouldn't be all the help.
Correct.
No one would say
the rookie shouldn't have the
only thing they should do is go get a rookie. But the idea that you can't get better. And by the way, I'm not only interested in next year. I actually am also interested the year after and the year after and the year after. The notion that a lottery pick is not helpful, it may not be the answer. But the idea that it's not helpful is just poppycock. Of course it's helpful.
Well, I mean, it is wildly unlikely. But you would at least have a chance at Cooper Flagg.
I think it's 0.5.
Yeah.
0.5% chance at Cooper Flagg. 0.5% chance. A lot of you are out there buying actual lottery tickets with less of a chance than that. So, I don't think...
wildly less of a chance.
I don't think that it is totally irrational or you should turn in your fan card or anything else if you come down on the side of I want them to lose. I think it's crazy to think that they want to lose, or the players, of course it's crazy, or would do anything to try to lose. But if you, as a fan at home, you can sort this out however you want, and I don't think it's offensive, crazy, whatever else, for you to want them to lose. At the end of the day, I've decided I want them to win.
I changed my tune yesterday. I also think it could be like big... If Ja's okay and can play, it's also a big opportunity for Ja, because what you also realize in these play-in, playoff games, so much of the narrative is crafted by what you do in these games. And
first of all, playoff games are fun. The level of intensity is fun.
Yes.
They lost the other night. I had fun.
It feels like a different sport when you're watching.
It's fun in the arena. You're going to find that out tomorrow night. It's fun. And you develop a hate for these players.
Oh, yeah.
And who the hell knows? You can win a game. The notion that you can't win a game, we haven't seen this OKC team in the playoffs, right? That's their whole vulnerability. We don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs. They're an awesome team. They're a legendarily great team, historically great team. But, got Jaren.
It's not proven that.
You got Dez.
It's not proven that they are that they're built for the playoffs. We know they're clearly built for the regular season, but it hasn't been proven yet.
And I do think that the level of internal demoralization could be really high if they lose tomorrow night. And I don't need that. I don't need the players looking around and saying, this is futile, man. You know, this is a disaster. I want more. I want more experience for Zach Edey. I want more experience for all the young guys, Vince and Scotty and like all the young guys. We were talking yesterday. They haven't had playoff experience. I want more experience for all of them. I want a greater chance to analyze and think about whether Isolo should be the head coach going forward, right? And then, because I was so torn on what to do with this, I did call over to the Department of Philosophy at the University of Memphis. And I said
to
myself,
not have that on my bingo card.
Well, doesn't it make sense? Like, how do I sort through what the ethical, right-thinking person should do? I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call the Department of Philosophy. And I looked at different subspecialties. Like there's ancient Greek philosophy and environmental philosophy. That's taught by Sean Driscoll. That didn't seem right.
Yep.
Did it? No?
No, I'm with you.
Okay, then there's the David Miguel Gray, philosophy of race and racism. I'm surprised he hasn't been fired.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophy of psychology, African-American philosophy. That's no good anymore. But anyway, again, not up the sweet spot, right?
Right.
He's not the right guy to call. Mary Beth Mader, 20th century continental philosophy, feminist theory. Once again, can't believe that's allowed to exist anymore. But none of these seemed like the sweet spot. So then I got to ethics, moral psychology, philosophy of emotion. That seemed right.
That's the sweet spot, right?
That's the sweet spot.
That's exactly what you're looking for.
So Remy, I wish I'd gotten this. Debs. We're going to go Debs. D-E-B-E-S. Debs? Debs. I think it's Debs. Remy Debs. I sent him an email, and he called me back. And did you ever take philosophy? You speak Latin, I assume it's practically hand in hand.
I studied more of like...
Speak Latin.
Whatever you
do, read Latin.
I studied more of like the ancient Greek philosophers, but not necessarily like a philosophy class itself.
He was nice enough to call me back. And he said, given what's happening in the world... What a great diversion. What a mindless diversion
sure.
This is to think about what we should be thinking about the Grizzlies.
Right.
Very good sport about this. He took me through. Do you know the difference between John Stuart Mill and Kant?
I mean, I know both names, but.
Okay. Well, Mill, or is it Mills? Mill. I think it's Mill. He's utilitarianism.
Yep.
And he's like, whatever would produce the most amount of happiness for the most people, that's what you should do.
Yep.
Right. And Kant is more. If you should do the thing, if you would be happy if everybody did that thing in that situation.
Yeah.
Right? So you look at these people scrap back and forth about what the right way to look at things is. The problem is a lot of that applied to the Grizzlies themselves. Like, what should the Grizzlies do? So then when I asked him, yeah, but this is really more about what fans should do. How should fans think about it? He said, well, that maybe you should look at this through the prism of loyalty and allegiance. And maybe it's a little bit like friendship. If you had a friend in this situation and you later told your friend that you were rooting against them, they might have a legitimate complaint. They might be offended. That might not feel like the right thing to do, given your loyalty and allegiance to your friend. And the Grizzlies aren't our friends exactly, but I sort of they are, right? They are our friends. They're our extended friends. And so how can I, with my loyalty and allegiance to the Grizzlies, how can I face them and say that I was rooting for them to lose? I can't.
I mean, you can, though.
I can't.
You can. It's like, I'm not rooting for you to lose. I'm rooting for the draft pick.
I was persuaded by the great professor and everything else. So, Jeffy, the poll is up.
Yeah, it is ping-ponging.
It is ping-ponging?
Yes.
What's the current score?
Jeff, for Grizzlies fans, what do you want to happen tomorrow night against the Mavericks? Currently, with 106 votes tallied, 51.9% say win and play the Thunder, 48.1% say lose and keep the draft pick. Now, this has been going back and forth. It's been pretty close to 50-50.
That's fine. Given that it is this, and we won't, this is just today. This is just today and today only. We will take calls on this if you want to get in on it. 445-0929. Lay out your case. What persuaded you? Do you want them to win or do you want them to lose? I don't think you're a bad fan if you want them to lose. I was on that side of things up until yesterday. 445-0929, 445-0929. We have other things to discuss as well. We'll get to all of that when we return. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, then Right or Then Right Trivia. It is the Jeff Dawkins Show on a very philosophical Thursday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We got a Jeff Calkins Show poll today, Jeffrey. Tell the people what it is and what are the results so far.
Jeff, the poll today is for Grizzlies fans. What do you want to happen tomorrow night against the Mavericks? 54.2% say win and play the Thunder, while 45.8% say lose and keep the draft pick.
All right. We got calls on this. The phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. Who we got?
Jeff, we start with Andy in Midtown. Andy, you are on.
Hello, Andy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. I'm 1,000% want us to win tomorrow.
Okay.
I just think, you know, it's going to give Edie some experience. So next year when he's in the playoffs, he won't be playing his first game. And I think if we just do nothing, our players are going to improve next year. And we were just really so close to just getting a 3 or 4 seed. So if we can just get a little bit better, you know, we're talking about this season completely different. And also just a chance to win like 1 or 2 games, I think, would be just a big memory and just an awesome experience for us as fans. So,
all right. Thank you very much. I think I fundamentally agree with that. That way of thinking. By the way, over on Sarah, over on Twitter, I think this is a winning point. She says, if we lose to freaking Klay Thompson, I'm not going to recover.
Yeah, it's tough to watch.
That would be tough. I mean, you already lost to the Warriors, and now you lose to Klay in addition?
It's like losing to the Warriors again.
Oh, my God. 445-0929. That may shift the poll right there. Who's next?
Jeff, we got a Teddy in Arlington. Teddy, you're on.
Teddy.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Doing well. You want them to win just because you need the measuring stick. The last thing you need right now is another young player who more than likely will be at the bottom end of the lottery. The last thing the Grizzlies need right now is to try to implement another young player with this. Then you see, the players need to know that, like, Ja, Jaren, Dez especially, like, what it's going to take to get to the next level. We've had a lot of built-in excuses, and some of them have been reasonable, some of them have been true, about why they haven't achieved the success that they desire. But then you see, after this season, you can't come back with the old status quo. So you got to go forward and win, and you'll see. Maybe you win one, maybe you don't. But if you get swept, going to the offseason, you got to take account of that and know what you have to do. You know, when a team doesn't perform, they usually say it's one of three things, right? Skill, heel, or will, right? Usually you don't have the skill, you just can't get over the hill, or you just don't have the will to. This is one of the rare teams that I've seen that various points in the season suffers from all three of those. So you need to take a look from the bottom to the top on what needs to be done. And the only way you do that is to go to the playoffs and see. And you see how it plays out.
All right. Thanks very much. I think people are making a persuasive case, Jeffrey. I would think the poll might actually begin to reflect the wisdom of our callers.
I do think it was important to see Wednesday and realize how different playoff postseason basketball feels, and you realize, like,
I believe this. Well, the first caller said it, and Chris Harrington has sort of said it as well. I really believe that despite what a lot of y'all want, the biggest source of improvement between this year and next will be internal. And it will be, it's too bad Jalen Wells isn't getting this experience too, but it'll be Jalen Wells and Zach Edey getting better. They won 48 games with those two as rookies starting. Literally, aren't they going to be 2 games better next year, Zach Edey and Jalen Wells?
I mean,
you would think.
That's the hope.
And you go through this experience, I think people are making a good case. 445-0929, but we'll also hear from the other side. Which side of this are you on? Jeff Calkins Show.
Jeff, let's go to Nick in downtown. Nick, you're on.
Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. Well, first things first, going into the tomorrow night, I want them to be sure, you know, Ja's good to go.
Yeah,
healthy. He came back in the other night, and he looked a couple steps slow. But, I mean, yeah, y'all y'all did kind of change my mind. I don't want to lose the play.
Really? You actually have changed your mind based on the last 5 minutes?
Well, I don't want to lose the Clay, but my point, I mean, the other point is, you know, the draft, if we get the draft pick, I mean, it's not just about making a pick. You know, you can throw that in with some kind of trade or something, you know.
I agree with that completely. The idea that people are tossing aside the idea of the possible value of a – you don't want a rookie to necessarily be your starter, but wouldn't you rather have a rookie, you know, pick your bottom, you know, pick your bottom of the lineup player, a promising rookie, another Jalen Wells? You got Jalen Wells in a second round. I'd like that for next year. You know, why not?
Well, I mean, we don't necessarily have free agents beating down our doors either.
No.
So, you know.
And you can trade the pick. It's not nothing.
I'm about 50-50 on it. I'm 50-50. I don't want to lose to Clay. I'm 50-50. I don't want to lose to, or I don't want to, you know, lose a pick.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. 445-0929, 445-0929. The Clay Thompson thing.
It's motivating.
It strikes a little too close to home here. Who's next?
Jeff, we go to Michael in Paris, Texas. Michael, you're on.
Hey, how you guys? Thank y'all for taking my call. So I want to give you all my reasoning here, but I'm a high school basketball coach out here in Paris, Texas.
Yeah.
And when I got to this school, I've been here for 3 years now. When I got here, they had never won more than 8 games in the season. And they had the talent here. I know because I had always coached against them. But the problem was that the teams that they would have to face in their league playoffs every year from down in Waco, Houston, they big teams, they knew they never had a chance. But I tried to build an attitude, a culture of winning. Our first season, we won 15 games. You got to make them believe. We went to the playoffs and we lost by 40 points. The next year, we won 24 games. We went all the way to the state championship game. We lost. This year, we won 28 games. We went all the way to the state championship game. Guess what? We lost again. 60 enrollment against 400 enrollment.
Wow.
We lost again. But guess what? We're building a culture of winning, and these kids that were 8th and 9th and 10th graders, they're getting older, they're getting bigger, and they believe. And now other kids, we're just a little private school. Other kids in this community, big high schools, they're wanting to come play for us. You build a culture of winning. The local people, they begin to notice, they begin to recognize. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers. We were told, trust the process. But have they won? Have they won, despite all the losing that they did, despite all the tanking that they did? Did they win anything? They haven't won anything. So if you build a culture of winning and you teach your young players, the expectation here is we try to win every game, no matter what. And then maybe you begin to turn that narrative because this team has proven they can draft. You get Jalen Wells at 39. You get Vince Williams at pick number 47. You get G.G. Jackson at pick number 45. I don't care about a lottery pick that's going to end up landing in the, you know, from somewhere to 10 to 15. I just don't care, right?
Where are you? Are you from Memphis? How do we have the pleasure of you calling us from Paris, Tennessee, Texas?
I grew up in Middleton, Tennessee, Middleton High School.
I see.
Home of Bobby Parks.
Well, we appreciate it. Thanks very much for the wisdom and the insight. Congratulations, by the way.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks. All right. I mean, that's all good stuff there. That's really good stuff, and I think there's something to it. I also think, by the way, the idea that tanking can never work is just not true. Like, look, as you point out, look at San Antonio. You know,
sure.
Sometimes culture is great, but having the best players is also great. Now, you don't have an opportunity to go get Tim Duncan here. The Edmonton Oilers tanked for Connor McDavid. Like, you tanking can't kind of work. But I'm with Michael in this particular
My biggest
situation.
Irritation with this season was I did not feel like, as an organization, there was enough emphasis on winning.
And now there is, 100%. Like, I'm all for, maybe that's the other thing. We can't, those of us who complained that why the hell wasn't it about winning at the beginning, now we're like, I'm fine if they lose. Maybe the way to look at this is, go try to win the damn game and go try to beat OKC and try to restore some momentum here. And if you happen to lose tomorrow night, nice consolation prize to have the draft pick.
That is a, like, I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
Like,
we'll take a couple more on this. Who we got?
Jeff, let's go to Daryl in Whitehaven. Daryl, you're on.
Hey, fellas. Hey, good afternoon.
How are you?
Hey, hey, I got a couple things. You know, hey, I've been listening, and so, hey, my way of looking at it is that for me, I don't ever want my favorite team to lose. and that's the Grizzlies. But however, I do also know the Grizzlies are not in position like the Lakers and the Knicks, who can always get free agent space to sign there. And always, the Grizzlies does not have that type of situation. So I just think that you have to maximize your draft each and every year, no matter what. You got to match. So hey, if you win and hey, you lose a draft pick this year and you don't have a first round draft pick, so now you're basically saying you're going to run it back with the same guys next year, try it over again. And your three guys that you have, they've already been in the playoffs. They've been in play-ins. They've won a playoff series. They have plenty of experience. But in the end, I'm of the mindset where the San Antonio Spurs, I mean, sometimes you have to be lucky and have generational stars. And to me, they're a smaller market team. You don't hear a whole lot of free agents wanting to go there. But they have had success, and that's because of through a draft, and they've had high draft picks. I'm looking at it from a
you
business
want the
standpoint.
Pick. You want the damn pick.
I would love the pick because the Grizzlies never worried about winning games this year when they was low managing their guys all year long, losing unnecessary games for no reason. And now all of a sudden you want to win one game. To me, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. I'll make a business decision and go ahead and try and prove my team through the draft because that's the only way we're going to get better players because free agents will not come here.
Right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. I do like picks. I do like, and I like the process. I like picks, and I like the process of picks. Last call on this.
Jeff, let's go to John in Memphis. John, you're on.
Good morning. Thank you.
How are you?
In every sport, they talk about get to the playoffs, and you never know what's going to happen. And I think that applies here. Golden State won three championships, aided greatly by a Mike Conley injury, Chris Paul injury, and the Ja Morant injury. Not saying they weren't a great team,
yep,
but injuries happen. I could see we tank this game, lose it, and Shai Gilgeous gets hurt in the first game of the playoff, and we're all going, darn, we could have been there.
Yeah, so, no, I think that's right.
Play to win.
All right.
Get to the playoffs. And
see what happens.
See how
see
it
what
works.
Happens. Thanks very much.
We have a talented team. They're capable. It's tough, but I'd go for it.
All right. Thanks very much. We wrapping it up here, Jeffrey? Want to take one more? We got one more?
No,
one
that,
more?
That was our, well.
That was it? Okay.
I'm trying to.
All right. That's fine. We're
okay.
Done.
Let's see if we got more coming.
Let's
in.
Go to the, no, we're good. Okay. Let's go to the, let's summarize, let's go to the poll, because I have some other things I wanted to touch on before we get to Chris Harrington. What are the results of the, I wonder if the very persuasive callers, we had one caller who was take the pick, right? Every other caller was win. I want him to win. And I do wonder if our very persuasive callers, because it was basically 50-50 when we last checked the poll, have they, through the power of persuasion and intellect, have they swayed the results of the poll?
Jeff, with 228 votes tallied, 53.9% say they want the Grizzlies to win and play the Thunder. 46.1% say lose and keep the draft.
Is it surprising to you that it's still that close?
I think what...
That's a lot of people who want to
lose. I think what
would
have been interesting is if we would have done this on Tuesday. I think lose and keep the draft pick would have been much higher.
Before we saw
the Warriors game. And you were reminded of, oh yeah, this
A,
stuff's
this is
fun.
Fun, and B, they're playing their asses off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Obviously, a lot of this will hinge on job. What do you expect? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I do know typically what happens is when you take the Advils and play on your ankle, then it's all about the next day because oftentimes you go to bed and that thing wakes up swollen like a, you know, like a beach ball. But I think in my gut, I'm going to say he's going to play.
I think he'll play. Yeah, I think the only question is whether he will. I think the only question is whether he'll be effective, be at his most effective. By the way, here's another one. Derek Lively was a pretty – they tanked for Derek Lively.
Yeah.
Was he not helpful to their cause last year as a rookie?
He was. Luka was also helpful to their cause.
No, I know, but yeah. I'm not saying
no. I mean,
this team
he mattered for them.
Yeah,
he helped. Like there were two.
Yeah, the idea that like this is going. The idea that a lottery pick wouldn't help this team is silly. You don't have to play him just because, like, whatever. With Jared McCain, he was picked with the whatever pick Philadelphia. I got hurt. Would he have helped this team? Yes, he would help this team. Hell, would another Jalen Wells help this team next year? Yes. Doesn't mean they have to soak up, you know,
98% of the minutes.
98% of the minutes.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the other thing. They're going to, like, Luke Kennard's probably not going to be back next year. Like, you're going to have to figure out ways to replace, like, these guys.
you do need more good players. Let's just, I mean, I'm going to say something controversial here. More good players is a good thing. And I know that's wildly. Hey, were you familiar with the work of Quentin Post two nights ago?
I was not
rookie.
Until, yeah.
Rookie. Right? Is it rookie?
Yeah.
Rookie.
Yeah,
seemed helpful. Seemed helpful.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to be a massive detriment to be
it
having
does also
a,
seem like guys that go up against the Grizzlies defense. It seems like they have nice nights.
Anyway, they'll be playing the Mavs, and I do think the Clay factor is a another one. You got AD, who obviously gives the Grizzlies trouble. You got Clay, and then you got Derek Lively. You got PJ Washington. Like it'll be interesting to
see. They're a credible basketball team.
They're a credible basketball team. Obviously, no Kyrie, and that is a blow. But there you go. Once again, tickets are on sale. You can be part of it, and it's fun. This stuff's fun. The atmosphere is different in a play-in/playoff game. Jaron will be giving away tickets to 250 fans today, 4 p.m. in the Grand Lobby at FedEx Forum. I don't know that Jaron will be handing them out. Usually he's there. Usually they do that. When the person, I think, I don't really know, but he's going to be giving away the tickets. He's supplying the tickets at the very least. Maximum two per customer. First come, first serve. The Grizzly Street team is around giving out swag all over town today. So there is hopefully some excitement building. Should be fun at FedEx Forum tomorrow night. In other news, Jeffrey, Lee Corso?
Yes, indeed.
Finally.
He is retiring, but he's going to have one last show. So he will do the week one college game day. That will be his final college game day.
And who's that?
We don't know yet.
We don't know who it's going to be?
It's going to be, I believe it's August 31st. So August 30th.
He's going to be putting on the headgear?
Correct.
It's a great shtick.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great shtick. Like, that was an awesome shtick. There's a guy who turned a mediocre coaching career into a sensational career. It's been a little hard to watch over the last
year. Health has been a big part.
So good for him, and I'm glad he gets the send-off. Nico, the news yesterday was that it seems to be headed to UCLA. Your thoughts?
The most important question to me is, are the reports that the money was less? Like, I need to know that because I think if that's true, then
we want that out there.
It's not even that. It's if it's true, it proves to me at no point did he really actually intend to leave. They were just trying to force Tennessee to pay him
more money,
and then Tennessee didn't
call their freaking bluff.
Yes.
Well, the other things that have emerged is there's been now rumblings. Oh, I didn't leave for the money. I left because of the offense.
Yeah.
Now, it is true. Not an ideal situation at wide receiver there for Tennessee, but a Josh Heupel offense produces numbers for quarterbacks.
And the last two quarterbacks he had got drafted.
And by contrast, UCLA sucked offensively last year. They fired their OC.
Yep.
DeShaun Foster is a totally unproven head coach.
Yeah.
They brought in
the guy Tino Sanseri.
Yeah, who was the last year he was at Indiana.
But he was not a play caller.
Right. And so, like, you're going to trust that over Josh Heupel?
Well, they've been throwing everything against the wall. Like, they it seems more likely than not to me. They
were just trying to get more money.
Correct.
And when he didn't show up that Friday, was unreachable.
Yep.